be part of the conversation, send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
We often talk about money as if it's a once-off decision, as if good financial habits are something you arrive at rather than something you grow into. But personal finance isn't a snapshot. I think it's a lifeline, or it's a timeline rather, not a lifeline, but a timeline, a landscape that shifts beneath your feet as you evolve, as you age, as you gain responsibilities, lose some illusions, and finally, hopefully, come into your financial wisdom. The money decisions that make sense at 21 may betray you at 31 and could ruin you at 41. And the strategies that build wealth in your 40s might suffocate you. Not to say they don't work, but might suffocate your freedom in your 20s. So tonight, we're pulling the camera back. We're zooming out. We're looking at money as a journey, not a moment, because the financial realities of a young adult taking their first job are not the realities of a parent juggling school fees and bond repayments, and definitely not the realities of someone whose retirement horizon is no longer a distant theory, but a decade away. So tonight's conversation really is about the why behind all those shifts. Why do our financial priorities evolve? Why does risk tolerance change? Why do we think differently about debt and assets and lifestyle and security at different ages? And how do we avoid making the right decisions at the wrong stage of life, if such a thing exists either? Because I'm no financial expert, but we do have a financial expert, and she's an award-winning personal finance educator, a wealth strategist trusted by thousands, and a voice of clarity in a world full of noise. Ladies and gentlemen, our personal finance guest tonight is the phenomenal, no stranger to the show, Tsengai Masendeke. Hello.
Hey, Pumi. Thank you so much for having me tonight.
Oh, it's always great having you here. Always great having you here. So let's begin with the big picture, right? Why does personal finance look different at different ages? And what shapes those shifts the most? And maybe I should ask, should it look different at different ages?
It definitely has to look different at different ages, Pumi.
Yeah.
And the best analogy I can actually give is the same way that a baby transitions from being in diapers to starting to crawl, to walking, and eventually running. The same thing with your financial planning. You actually need to transition through different stages, but also mature in the financial decisions and the quality of the financial choices you make over time.
That's so good. That's so good. Let's talk about our 20s, and then we'll go into the 30s and then into the 40s. Let's just break it up like that. The 20s is quite an interesting decade, right? It's often romanticized as the freedom era. What should someone in their 20s actually be prioritizing financially? And what are the biggest traps that they can fall into?
Such a brilliant question. And I hope that this is going to be aired in the schools, in the town hall, because I actually believe wealth creation starts when you're young. Mm. The small, consistent, but clever financial decisions you make over time help you to reap the highest rewards. So as a starting point, if you're in your 20s, can you please get yourself together and learn how to budget? Get yourself together and understand you cannot be spending more than you earn. And this is a principle I would love young people to master. Whether it's on your NASFAS funding budget, or if the market money you're getting, or you've got a side hustle, or you're working, wherever that income is coming from, You need to learn the discipline of actually spending less than you earn. Mm. And the one way you can learn that principle is by making sure you are planning through a budgeting or money management exercise. Mm. Wealth is not created as an afterthought, nor is it something you stumble upon, nor is it something that happens by chance. Mm. It is something that is intentional. And if you can learn how to budget and use 5,000 rand, mm. guess what? The principles and the disciplines will allow you to manage 10,000 rand.
So good.
They'll allow you to manage 30,000 rand. Mm. They'll allow you to manage 100,000 rand. They'll allow you to manage a salary of 300,000 rand.
Sure.
It's a fallacy to think that if you were poor at managing your money at 20, somehow a magic ball and magic dust is going to fall upon you, and then at 40, you're going to become a pro at managing money. No, it doesn't happen like that.
Mm.
So for me, one key aspect I would say when you're young, learn to budget, be disciplined, manage and monitor your expenses, and make sure you are spending less than you earn.
Mm.
So that's the one key principle I'd say is key in laying a good foundation in your 20s. The second thing I'd also probably allude to is save before spending. So
okay.
I said you have to learn to spend less than you earn,
mm.
but in your spending, make sure you've you actually spend.
Mm.
And one sure way to make sure you're intentional about committing a certain amount of money on a continuous basis towards wealth creation is to ensure it's in your budget.
Mm.
Saving and investing should not be an afterthought.
Yeah,
so you're not
yeah.
going to say to yourself, I'll save after I've spent, or I will save whatever's left over. Because in my 18 years being in the working class, that day never comes of saving after spending, because
yes.
there's always this plug to this hole to plug. There's always that thing that needs to be done.
Mm.
So you have to be prudent and quite committed in the wealth creation process by ensuring that your savings, your investments are actually part of your budget, which ensures you end up actually saving before spending. SBS, save before spending.
Mm.
And then one trap, like you said, people need to avoid in their 20s is that all unknown, known to some as the debt trap.
Yeesh.
I want to keep up with the Joneses.
Oh.
Hello, the Kunenes of my neighborhood.
Mm.
Honey, you don't need to.
Yeah.
Run your own race in your own space and at your own pace, because a lot of our young people are getting caught up in the peer pressure based on what they are watching on TikTok, on Instagram, on the social media platforms. But what they don't realize is that's actually a moment of glory. And you don't know how that glory was funded or financed. Someone puts up a post, they are behind this lush home.
Small girl, big God.
Yes, they're standing beside this million rand car, but you don't know, maybe they're advertising, or maybe their uncle from Mdata visited, or maybe they're visiting their aunt in Kwakwa and they've got a big house. You don't know the story behind the pictures you find on the gram.
Yeah.
So please try to make sure you don't fall into the trap of living beyond your means or portraying the lifestyle that you don't yet afford, which normally then forces people into this vicious debt trap.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are my three key tips for your 20s.
Oh, so good, because I was going to get into lifestyle inflation and the dangers of it, right? Because we really don't know where the source comes from. And I think another thing is we love comparing our stage one to somebody else's stage five. No, they're 30. I should be where they are because I'm 32, forgetting that you may have not gotten work at the same time. You're not even earning the same amount of money. There's just so much to factor in, or so much to consider, that if all you go by is what you see, you will really drive yourself to the ground.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'd love to leave our listeners with this thought, that a moment celebration does not tell the full picture about a lifetime journey to getting to that moment of success, of victory, of being celebrated. So let's be patient. Wealth creation takes time.
Mm.
And if you can master the right habits when you're young, you will be so grateful that you did the right things earlier. You sacrificed when you had the opportunity to, and you could actually practice that skill set without being under financial pressure.
Oh, so good. Let's move into the 30s. This one is for me now. Now you're talking to me. This decade, Tsengai, is intense. Careers are solidifying, families are growing, expenses are multiplying. In your 30s, what becomes the key financial focus?
Ooh, I think once you are in your 20s, you are yoloing.
Yeah.
You are enjoying.
Yes, okay? I don't have a cat. I don't have a dog. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
You don't have kids. You don't have school fees. So it's easier to make mistakes and bounce back from them. All right. But like I mentioned earlier on, you need to start SBSing, saving before spending. So you're learning the practice of continuously committing assets, money, resources towards the wealth creation journey. Now, in your 30s, my advice would be, you now want to make sure you build on asset accumulation and you build on growing your wealth.
I'm happy you're saying you are building on. And of course, for other people, they would be starting over if they didn't receive the correct financial principles. But I think the key is building on, because the drive here is you've already started.
Definitely. Yeah. So you've started the journey. Mm. And now maybe after 5 years, you've accumulated enough money to have a stable emergency fund. Mm. You've accumulated enough money as a deposit for a property. Mm. You've accumulated enough money to put as a down payment on a motor vehicle purchase. So now in your 30s, you can actually now take those lump sums and start building on them in terms of furthering your wealth creation journey. So you're now buying houses. You are getting investment properties. You are making sure that your investment... You're making sure that you are building. And I think the emphasis here is building. You're building. You're making sure that you are elevating in your wealth creation journey. Because it's important to actually realize that at the end of the day, as individuals, wealth creation is like building a house. You have to start with a good foundation. Okay. You have to make sure that you then put in the right kind of walls structurally that they're actually sound. Then you're going to put your roof and then you make sure that it is habitable. So it's also the same with your wealth creation journey. You put in that right foundation in your 20s and then in your 30s, you start building towards something that is monumental. A second thing I want to emphasize, and hear me well.
Okay.
You need to make sure that if you didn't start saving for retirement in your 20s, you get onto that bandwagon as a matter of urgency. All right? I can't emphasize how many people I come across who have been underprepared for the financial transition called retirement. You don't make the money for retirement when you are 50. No. That money is made in your 20s and 30s because of the power of compounding. So you need to actually understand that 80% of the growth in the assets that people then use to fund their lifestyles when they retire is actually earned from the money that they accumulated in their 20s, 30s, and maybe early 40s. Because that early capital is what then starts to compound in terms of growth. So in your 30s, you want to make sure you're building your asset and your investment portfolio. You want to make sure that you actually lock in those retirement savings. You commit to them and it becomes non-negotiable. But another important element I would definitely encourage and emphasize that our young people also consider as part of their planning for the 30s is to ensure that their insurances are on point. Recent studies have actually shown that people between their 30s and 40s are incrementally becoming more prone to lifestyle type of diseases. Right? And if you don't have the appropriate type of insurance, whether it's dread disease cover, it's disability cover, or sometimes even death cover, it means you have not protected those assets you've taken so long to create. You want to make sure you've got your medical aid.
Yes.
You want to make sure that you've got your gap cover.
Yes.
So that if life happens, you're not now being forced to take those assets you're busy growing and accumulating to fund the replacement of the assets that you've lost or to fund the income that you've actually lost. So the things I'm mentioning in my 30s, please, they are non-negotiable. Mm. You need to start saving for retirement. You need to make sure that you've got proper insurances in place. Mm. And you want to make sure that you're building on your investment and asset portfolio.
Mm. And the thing is, in your 30s, debt often peaks, I've found. Well, I've heard from quite a number of people that in your 30s, the debt also peaks. I mean, there's cars, there's bonds, school fees, because people are starting to get kids and credit for some other things. How does someone stay financially stable without drowning?
So I actually did a series on credit about, I think at the beginning of the year. Mm. I'd definitely encourage our listeners to go back and listen to that 5-series podcast that we did. Mm. Because managing debt has got multiple facets.
Sure.
It's about the mix of debt you have. It's about your utilization rate. Mm. It's about your length in which you've had the credit for. Mm-hmm. It's also about making sure that you are timely in your repayments.
Yes.
So it's not just one aspect you need to be monitoring and watching. Mm-hmm. Though I must say, once you take on debt, the biggest thing to ensure is that you pay it off. You pay it off on time and you pay it off always until it's out of your life.
Yeah.
But it's important to make sure that the mix of debt is also right. Mm-hmm. So you can't have 5 personal loans. That opportunity sailed and it cannot be a part of your life anymore.
Yes.
You want to make sure that if you're going to get debt, it's smart debt.
Mm.
Debt that allows you to increase your net worth.
Mm.
Debt that allows you to increase your earning capacity.
Mm.
And you want to make sure that you get rid of or avoid the debt that is lifestyle related. And I did mention this earlier.
Yeah.
So you cannot be buying to fund lifestyle.
Mm.
Now you want to go to Shop X to get food and you open a credit line there.
Mm.
See, the fact that you have to be buying it on credit means that you can't afford.
Just go eat at home.
Yeah, go eat at home and go eat the food you can afford on that, for that matter of fact. Okay? So it's a combination of, I think, things to just make sure that, A, you're using the right kind of debt to set yourself up for your 40s, 50s, 60s, but also to make sure that the debt is not consumptive in nature.
You mentioned vehemently that if somebody did not start investing in their 20s, they need to get on it in their 30s. Well, not, we didn't say investment. You spoke about retirement. But I do want to talk about investments at this point. What sort of investments do we focus on in our 30s? And what is the strategy? Because I can imagine if you start in your 20s, it's more relaxed because you've got time. But with that decade lost in your 30s, what is a good investment strategy look like? If at all, it can be generalized.
So I wouldn't say that it can be generalized because remember, personal financial planning is a personal journey. And what might be appropriate for you might not necessarily be appropriate for me, which is why I always encourage for the investment strategy itself, seek the help of a financial professional.
Gotcha.
There are certified financial planners like myself that can sit down with you. And the same way that a doctor would diagnose that, you know what, your left lymphode is not working.
Yeah.
We can also diagnose your financial problems and help you with the right kind of medication.
Mm.
So that if you are maybe an aggressive type of investor, we allocate your resources to aggressive type of investments that yield high growth, even though they're high risk, because you can take on that kind of strategy.
Mm.
For someone else, they are conservative and they actually need a conservative type of strategy based on either the time that they have to invest, how much they can afford, and what their return expectations are.
Mm.
So it's not going to be a one size fits all, but I would say the principle is you need to start investing for retirement.
Mm.
How you then allocate the money would differ depending on your personal risk appetite, what you can afford, and how much time you have in the market.
I'm going to ask you a bit of a cheeky question. I've always heard about this risk appetite, right? That some people are aggressive, some people are conservative, and they should invest based on that risk appetite. In your 30s, can you afford to have a conservative risk appetite? Or are you, is it just like, come on, man, you missed that boat in your 20s. You can't afford to be conservative. How does it work?
So you can actually afford to be conservative, but the important thing is what is the purpose of the investment?
I hear
So
you.
we actually use a philosophy called goal-based investing. We look at the goal you're trying to achieve, and then we recommend an appropriate strategy based on the desired outcome. So
Gotcha.
if your goal is to set up an emergency fund, absolutely, it makes a lot of sense to actually have a conservative profile, because if your tire bursts or your geyser leaks or there's a break-in in your house and you need to replenish or replace or recover from those losses, then you need the cash available and you can't be told, oh, well, the markets are down today, so 30% of the value is not available. So depending on the goal, the intended outcome or the need, different investment strategies will be appropriate. And you could find that even for a specific stage, you can have multiple investments with different strategies. It doesn't have to be a one-size-fits-all.
I love that. I love that. Let's move into the 40s. Let's move into the 40s, a decade of both pressure and power. I mean, I've seen people in their 40s and I'm just like, what? Did you just regain life or are you living for the first time? And so I'd love for you to tell us what financial shifts are necessary here and what mistakes become extremely costly.
I love that question. So I think in your 40s, if you hadn't started planning for retirement,
please,
you, it is gotta to do yourself a favor and start planning for retirement. I think, as I mentioned, the earlier you start saving and investing for retirement, the so it's important that if you hadn't actually started investing for things like retirement, it doesn't get any clearer than by the time you're in your 40s, you need to make sure that you're doing the right thing. Then another thing that I would also suggest that people do is to ensure that those savings and those investments are targeted for specific things now. So as an example, in your 30s, you started having kids, right? And if you hadn't started an education fund, in your 40s, it's another quarter to where you need to wake up, smell the coffee, and ensure that if you hadn't started doing that in your 30s, now is the time to actually get going. I mean, high school fees are quite expensive. Varsity fees are quite expensive nowadays. And you want to make sure that you've carefully planned for that expenditure, because you'll find that your education cost could very well become one of your most expensive investments over your lifetime. So making sure that if you hadn't started retirement, you're starting. Making sure that if you hadn't started planning for things like kids' education, you do that. You make sure that, again, you start increasing or accelerating your wealth creation journey. Remember, most people get promoted, they'll change jobs in their 40s to 50s. This is where they're almost not peaking, but they are working towards peaking. So even the quality of income they're earning is significantly better than the starting
For
salaries
sure.
they had when they were 20 or in their 30s. So it becomes quite important that you become seriously intentional about allocating more resources, more income, more revenue towards your wealth creation journey. And I guess another key thing I'd also encourage people to do, and it's not to say you have to wait for your 40s, is to ensure that your legacy planning, your estate planning is also in order. If you pass away tomorrow, what will life look like? Is everyone clear on how you'd want your estate to be wound down? Everything in writing? Do you have a will? Do you have an appropriate estate plan to ensure that should you pass away tomorrow, your inheritance, your legacy actually lives on? And I think those are some of the key things I would say are important in your 20s, 30s, and 40s.
You know, I'm imagining somebody right now who's listening and thinking, OMG, I have missed so many boats. I'm in trouble. Tsungai, I need you to tell us, when is the latest that someone can realistically correct their retirement path without panic?
Realistically, it's today. Start today if you're already late. Because for me, again, it's an opportunity cost. You can panic all you want, but it doesn't help to actually keep your head buried in the sand.
This is true.
At some point, you need to have that self-talk. Talk to yourself in the mirror and say, girl, we missed the boat. But you know what? Let's catch the train. Do something and get going. But to sit and feel sorry for yourself also is not going to help. So you need to take action. Take good action quite quickly, and as soon as you actually realize that there's work to be done.
So now, you know, many 40-year-olds support both their children and their aging parents. And I think they call them the sandwich generation. I don't know these things. So how does somebody build for retirement while carrying these two households, their own and the one they left behind?
You, Mpumi. Now, that one is a tough one. Because you know what? I like how you said sandwich generation.
Yeah.
Commonly known as black ticks. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
You are trying to build here, but at the same time, you are being expected to actually take care of a family.
You have a responsibility.
And I always love to give this simple analogy. If you're a farmer, where do you put your seed? If you want a good harvest, I've never seen a farmer who actually puts seed, like throw seed over their shoulders to their back. Most farmers will throw seed in front of them, right? So they can actually see, where is my seed going? Did it fall in the right ridge? Is it the right number of centimeters above the ground? Do I actually feel that the water is actually going to reach the seed so that it can actually germinate after about 3 to 7 days? So we have a problem if we're always going to be throwing our seed backwards, because it means that the same seed we're actually supposed to use to gain a harvest in the future is now being spread between the future and the past. And I can tell you now for free, trying to create wealth in such a scenario is difficult. There was an article that actually was released, I think it was a year or two back, that showed that for the average individual that has got a black tax obligation, it will take them at least 10 years for them to actually own their first property. And that's if you are lucky. Okay, that's if you're lucky. So it means that if we're going to break the cycle, we will need to sacrifice so that we can actually break the cycle at some point in time. So it means that while I have the obligation of still looking after my parents, and there's nothing wrong with that, I understand. Some of us come from those backgrounds and we have to actually embrace that responsibility. But it means that I have to now sacrifice in my current lifestyle so that I put enough seed so that my daughter will not have to fund my own retirement. I have to sacrifice something now to ensure that I don't perpetuate that that cycle in the family. And it will take sacrifice, like I said. It's not something that will happen overnight. You have to make a conscious decision to say, you know what, instead of going out 3 times a month, maybe I actually don't go out after all, so that I can save as aggressively as I can, so that at the end of the day, it stops with me. Financial freedom, black tax stops with me. Financial freedom starts with me.
I can imagine the backlash isn't great, though.
But another thing I also would like to encourage our listeners is, because we understand that black tax sandwich generation caregiver syndrome is something that a lot of us find ourselves having to partake of, please do yourselves a favor and take out a life policy on your parents.
Yes.
That's the very least they can give back to you as a legacy. They never saved for retirement.
Yes.
The least they can do is help you become rich after they die. Okay.
So, I want us to pause here a bit, or not even pause, but park here a bit and have a quick discussion on this, because there's some stigma around that idea. And when you look at people who have built wealth and continue to build wealth, this is what they do. The reason why we would take out life policies is so that our kids don't suffer, our kids don't struggle. But in the black community, that's shunned upon. Can you release us from that cage?
Go for prayer and counseling. But on a more serious note, and I think I've had this conversation with you before, that wealth creation is not necessarily about the income you earn in your pocket. It's also about your mindset and about making incrementally better financial decisions. We're all going to meet our Heavenly Father, hopefully if you've given your life to Jesus,
yes,
at some point in time. So we must not fear death, but we must be well prepared for it. And as much as people might shun the idea, the question is, will these very same people shun you once 10 millionaires clock to your bank account?
Hello? Yeah.
So it's about changing the mindset and making sure that we actually plan better generationally. When we have the opportunity, let's utilize them. Because again, even for our parents, they're insurable up until a certain age. Oh. So again, if you don't utilize the opportunity, you're going to miss the bandwagon.
Yeah.
Meaning that you're going to perpetuate the poverty until Jesus comes.
Oh, man. Oh, let's wrap it up. Let's wrap it up, and I'd love for you to wrap it up in this way. I was at UP last week Friday for the GBVF march, and I was looking at all these kids like, oh, what I would give to be back in your shoes, the things I would do differently. Because it's only when you're older where you're just like, oh, man, if only I knew better. And so I'd love for you, as we wrap this up, to give one sentence of advice to those listening who are in their 20s. Do the same for those who are in their 30s, and that would be me. And then those in their 40s, if you really had just 1 minute with each of these age groups, what is the thing you would want them to know relevant for their season that will stick and will change their lives if they apply?
So for the 20s, learn how to manage your money, budget, earn, start the principle and the habit of budgeting early, and also start investing.
Okay.
So SBS, save before you spend.
Yes,
learn
yes.
that principle when you are in your 20s.
Yes.
In your 30s, protect your wealth, protect your life. Your life is the biggest asset you have because of its earning potential. So make sure you've got retrenchment protection, you've got income protection, you've got critical illness protection. Those insurances, make sure they're on lock. But also, if it's within your power, make sure you start saving for retirement. Don't make it an afterthought. Don't put it on the back burner anymore.
Yeah.
Introduce that into your planning. And again, it would be lovely if you could build on your wealth creation profits in your 30s. And then finally, in your 40s, I think one key thing I want people to take away from there is to make sure that their estate planning is watertight.
Yes.
You've got your will in place. You've got the estate plan in place. You've got the estate policy to look after any sort of debt, to look after dependents, to look after any sort of deathbed or funeral expenses. You've got that on lock so that the legacy you spent your time building in your 20s and 30s can actually be passed on to create that generational wealth we all love to talk about.
So good. Any parting shots before we call it a night?
Just start.
Yeah.
Just start.
Nothing.
It would be so sad having spent so many hours educating people online and then 10 years down the line, these people is suffering from the very thing we talked about 10 years ago.
So it would be such a shame. Such a shame. Tsungai, thank you for coming through. I did say it's always such a pleasure having you here. Today was quite different. It was very motherly. It was like, listen, it's the end of the year. I might not have an opportunity in 2025 to tell you what I need to tell you. You are on our neck. But I think it's also a very good time because people are spending. It's the holidays. People's minds are on spending and doing all of this. And I think this conversation really centers us. It really grounds us to say, listen, you cannot, yes, sure, live, but realize that after you've lived, if living is what you call this thing right now, you have an actual life to come back to. When the holiday is over, when the craze is over, you have to pick up the pieces. So make sure it's the kind of pieces you can actually pick up and build with. And you haven't shattered your finances and shattered your life in the process. So thank you for sobering us. Thank you for that motherly counsel today. This is really, really good.
Thanks for me.
Happy holidays.
Happy.
Cheers. Sure. What a conversation. What a conversation. I think tonight, Tsungai reminded us that money is not just about earning, right? You heard that we have to evolve. We have to evolve. The things that made sense in our 20s, in our 30s, no. going on holiday every other month, sure, it's nice, it's relaxing. And maybe you could do that in your 20s because you didn't have a lot of responsibilities. But in your 30s, maybe not the brightest idea. And in your 40s, yeah, that's where you need to be very, very serious, because you are about to, you know, to dip. And I guess for me, the takeaway is your 20s are for planting, your 30s are for building, and your 40s are for securing. So plant those seeds in your 20s. In your 30s, which is me, I have to start building. I made great financial decisions in my 20s and also some not so great financial decisions. And there are pieces I need to pick up, but also there are things now I need to build because now I know better. I know where my hand burns. I know where my hand grows, right? And so it's very important that you realize that. And in your 40s, secure. Utsungai mentioned the estate planning. We have to be very intentional about that. Just make sure that you've got a life policy on yourself, on your aging parents, that you've got an education fund for your kids. And it might be a little bit late, but just try it. You know, make sure that your will is in place, that everything that needs to be in place is in place in your 40s. And no matter where you enter this timeline, you can always choose differently. And I think this is the beauty, right? You can always choose wiser. You can always choose better. And you can start that tonight. And with that, I am Nompumelelo Mbonani. And I hope you have just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow. Ciao for now.
Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.